Jonathan Morgenstein, you're a senior national security policy fellow at Third Way. And in a moment, I'll have you explain what Third Way is all about. But I wanted to speak with you today because, are you still active military?
No, I'm not. I served in the Marine Corps Reserves and was activated, did two tours through Iraq, and came back about 2 months ago from my last tour where I was living with the Iraqi military, training them. And I've since deactivated, so I'm no longer on duty with the military.
So you served two tours in the Marine Corps, and now you're done. And today is a huge day, June 30th, 2009. And supposedly the U.S. forces have completed a withdrawal from Iraqi cities today. And this is as a result of an agreement that George Bush actually signed before he left office, right?
Yes. I think that then-President Bush saw the writing on the wall, and clearly the American public realized long ago that the war in Iraq really was never the front line on the war on terror that the Bush administration had tried to portray it as, that frankly Al-Qaeda never was in Iraq until through our invasion there we gave them a target to go find. And the base and core of Al-Qaeda has always been in Afghanistan and Pakistan and the mountain areas between them. And the truth is that through Secretary Gates and General Petraeus, by their change in strategy and how they're conducting the war, which include the increase, sometimes referred to as the surge, conditions had stabilized. And so it was time for us to draw down, and it was time to hand over the conditions or the requirement for security in the country over to the Iraqis, because most American forces didn't want to be there and most of the Iraqis didn't want us there. So now
that's right.
All interests align.
Right. Now you said during at least your second tour there, you were responsible for helping to train the Iraqi forces to take control, which effectively they have today. Are they ready?
You know, there are a lot of different military units throughout Iraq, and some are better trained and more effective than others. When I was serving alongside these Iraqi soldiers, there were some that were extraordinarily motivated and capable and had the discipline and intelligence you needed to be an enormously successful soldier in any military around the world. That being the case, there also were not top-notch soldiers as well, and there is still to some degree corruption and a lack of discipline and professionalism in some parts of the Iraqi military. And so now that it's really entirely on the Iraqis, there's going to have to be a shakeup in the Iraqi leadership, and they're going to have to really determine whether they are going to begin to weed out the corrupt and the incompetent, or are they going to, you know, kind of let that kind of drag on? And so there is the potential for the Iraqi army to really gel and become a quality force to stabilize their country, but it's not guaranteed. And I can also add that the Iraqi police force has a much further way to go than the army. The army, on the whole, is professional, is competent. There are some bad apples, like I was talking about, but they are significantly better than the Iraqi police.
Okay. Well, and in case anybody was wondering, just to prove how badly at least the new Iraqi government or the Iraqi people wanted us out, today, June 30th, marking this pullback or the withdrawal, if you will, today is now a national holiday in Iraq. So they really did want us out of there, huh?
Well, I think there was a lot of mixed emotion. I mean, from dating back to my first tour in 2004, 2005, I was working as a civil affairs officer back then, and so I probably had more contact with the Iraqi people on a day-to-day basis than virtually any other military forces, and not just me personally, but any civil affairs Marine or soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And overwhelmingly what they told us was that they were very happy that we got rid of Saddam Hussein. But that didn't mean they wanted someone else to be governing their lives. They still wanted control of their own lives. And so it was kind of this love-hate relationship. And over time, they realized, though, that while they didn't want us there, they did want us there long enough to prevent another thug from taking over, whether that be Al-Qaeda extremists or whatever. And so I think obviously they are very happy that they are now in control of their own destiny. And they are very happy that we are leaving now. I think that for a while, though, while they did want us to eventually leave, they did want us to stick around long enough to provide some stability. And I think they have that now. And I know in the Iraqi army, they were happy to have us. They're mentoring and continuing to mentor to some degree, but they're also proud that they feel like they can take it on from now on.
Okay. Well, now today, General Ray Odierno, who is he's the U.S. top U.S. commander in Iraq, he was asked how many forces would be left behind, and he is refusing to say, but some estimates say that we're going to leave as many as 50,000 troops still in Iraq. Do you know what the number is, or if that's in the ballpark?
Well, I think there are actually two questions that we're talking about. I think the question that was asked of General Odierno was how many soldiers and Marines are going to be left inside the cities.
Okay.
Because today does not mark the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq.
Just from the cities, right?
From the cities, right, from the population centers. And we are still going to be there to back up the Iraqi forces if they get into a very, very bad situation. Like, if you remember, a year ago, March, there was a huge blow-up between Muqtada al-Sadr's forces and the Iraqi government forces down in Basra, and they did need British and American forces to kind of come in and help them out. So we will still be there for at least another year or two in that case. And what General Odierno was saying that he can't give an exact number on right now, though, is the exact number of American forces that haven't withdrawn from the cities. But that number is almost negligible because those forces he's referring to are teams of 10 Marines or 12 soldiers that are living embedded within an Iraqi army unit of 700 Iraqi soldiers. And they are the kinds of teams that I was part of this past year that were simply there to help guide and advise and evaluate the Iraqis. So they don't have an operational capacity. It's not like there's going to be an American unit conducting a patrol. There's going to be one American vehicle patrolling with 10 Iraqi vehicles or something along those lines.
Jonathan Morgenstein is with us here on Air America Radio. Now, I said you were a career Marine, and now you are the Senior National Security Policy Fellow at Third Way, which is a progressive think tank in Washington, D.C. And before you went there, you served as the Senior Program Officer at the United States Institute of Peace. I want to hear about the Institute of Peace. What is this?
Okay. Actually, I am not a career
Marine. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have spent 19 years in the Marine Corps Reserves.
Oh, okay. So you were a reservist who got called up twice.
Yes. I actually have been called up a number of times. I served in Bosnia briefly as well. And so ever since before college, I enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves. So I've had periods of activation. But the U.S. Institute of Peace, actually, it's a think tank that's funded by Congress but is independent of the executive branch. And my job, they do a lot of report writing. They're very strictly nonpartisan, and they do a lot of report writing on issues of conflict. And my job actually was I would travel around the world trying to get kind of warring factions to sit down and not necessarily work out their problems right there, but to build the skills that they would need once I left in order to allow them to work out their problems together. So we went to Darfur in the middle of the genocide, and I could call it a genocide because I was not an agent of the U.S. government, which refused to call it a genocide at the time. And I tried to get, along with my coworker, tried to get the tribal leaders from the the warring factions to sit down and kind of build relationships and kind of build the capacity for them to do what was called the Darfur dialogue. And so we conducted efforts like that. We did this in Colombia, Nigeria, the Philippines, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Iraq. And sometimes we saw progress, and sometimes we saw stuff collapse. But I think it was worth the effort.
Absolutely. I never even heard of the United States Institute of Peace before, and it's great to know that it is, although you weren't an agent of the government, you were working under the auspices, I guess, of Congress and able to go out there and at least encourage diplomacy, which
right.
we need to hear about more of that. That's a good thing. So,
if I can plug, you can go to it's www.usip.org online, and they're actually building a brand new peace education center right on the mall next to the Lincoln Memorial, and it should be done by I think spring of next year. It's going to be this beautiful, amazing new building. You can see it from the Kennedy Center and from the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's good to hear. Now, tell us about Third Way. You're currently with this progressive think tank as a senior national security policy fellow. Tell us about Third Way.
Well, Third Way was born a number of years, a few years ago, out of the need to not necessarily develop the kind of deep, detailed policy prescriptions that you might see coming out of Brookings or institutions like that, but with the idea that progressive ideas are the ideas that appeal to the American public more than conservative ideas, but they haven't been effectively communicated.
You can say that again.
I'm sorry?
I said you can say that again.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we use the term think tank because people understand that idea. We actually refer to ourselves as a progressive messaging center in kind of stricter terms. And so what we try and do is we try and help candidates and office holders and others, anyone who is willing to latch onto a progressive idea. And we've actually worked with Democrats and Republicans. We've worked with conservative and other progressive think tanks to advance any idea that we believe in. And whether that's transformation of energy into clean energy, or whether that's kind of drawing down in Iraq and really focusing on where the real threat is from, which is the mountains of Pakistan and Afghanistan. Those are ideas that we really believe in, and we're willing to work with anyone who's willing to push those ideas. And we try and make it the complex ideas more understandable to the broader public.
Gotcha. All right, and people can find out more about Third Way at thirdway.org.
That's right.
All right. So, Jonathan Morgenstein, thank you so much for joining us today, explaining about what's going on in Iraq. And I guess no news coming out of there for the next short while is good news,
those
right?
Those news is good news.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind. We got lots of other news to deal with as it is with places around the world. Hopefully no news will come out of Iraq, and that'll be a good thing. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I appreciate it, and we'll check back in with you again.
All right. Thanks for having me on.